Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Department of Justice tells the California governor to reopen churches, and the U.S. Supreme Court issues a ruling on a motion. We're going to clarify what that means on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Let's first talk about the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice, just before Pentecost, in which a number of churches were going to reopen, whether the governor said they could or not, the Department of Justice sent a letter and made a public statement to Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, and they have indicated that the Constitution calls for California to do more to accommodate religious worship. That's part of what they said. And the Department of Justice, through the Attorney General, also said that it places an unfair burden on these churches that violates the civil rights of individuals as well as these churches under the First Amendment by giving them unequal treatment to the faith communities. And what California had done is, like many of these states, they allow abortion clinics. They consider them to be essential. Liquor stores, they consider those to be essential. And lots of other businesses where people pack the parking lots. And it's almost like Christmas shopping extended for weeks because they have so many people in these stores. That's the only thing they can do. They go to these stores and they go there early in the morning, even on Sunday morning. They pack the parking lots. They pack the inside. But churches, well, they're not essential in their view, and they're going to remain closed. And they have this idea that it is more risky to go to church than it is to go to these other places. And in fact, I think that's completely wrong. Because if you go to a grocery store, you're touching the same items over and over again that many other people are touching. You're, in many of these stores, doing the credit card machine where other people are touching, and you're in their presence, plus they have employees. And these employees are there for at least 8 hours a day. And in some of these, with multiple shifts, they're there for many hours around the clock. So you can't say that, well, churches, you stay longer. Well, you don't stay as long as an eight-hour service in a Home Depot or some other location. So obviously what you have here is just a bias against churches.
Yeah, the governor's definitely discriminated. And, you know, that's such an insult. If you really look into history, throughout history, California has a very amazing spiritual history throughout the years. What is the difference between us meeting together and you going to Walmart? There is none, but you obviously have an agenda to squash these churches.
Yeah, you know, many of the cities in California and other places around the country, they're named after missions.
Oh, yeah.
Los Angeles, the city of angels.
Right.
You know, the angels.
Billy Graham did an amazing, years ago, he did a crusade there that lasts for days, I believe. You know, so there's a lot of spiritual history within that state.
But the governor, very pro-abortion, and this is a consistent theme we see, does not want the churches to open. So the Department of Justice ultimately issued this letter and mandate and said, you need to comply with the Constitution. The president also said that churches are essential. And as a result of that statement on a Friday, the governor on Monday began to relax some of those restrictions. So we're very thankful for the president, certainly the Department of Justice, which actually filed a brief in our Virginia case. But we also want to talk about the Supreme Court, because there has been a number of misstatements about what the Supreme Court has done or not done.
Yeah, a lot of the media is making it sound like the churches all over are being denied.
Yeah, and it's not true.
Yeah.
There was a case out of California. We don't represent that case. We actually had a case out of Illinois involving Romanian churches, and we were at the U.S. Supreme Court, and as a result of us dragging the governor of Illinois to the steps of the Supreme Court through our lawsuit, within 4 hours of him having to file his response, Illinois went from the most restrictive state, the worst state in the country,
right,
and bullying tactics against these Romanian churches, including threatening to bulldoze their buildings, to the freest state in the country. So we got all the relief that we needed because we took them to the U.S. Supreme Court.
At the same time, this case in California was also at the Supreme Court.
Yeah, they were also at the Supreme Court. And the request by the California church case was a motion. And it was a motion for the court to jump in the middle of this case while it's ongoing and issue an emergency injunction pending the appeal. In other words, it's a request. It's extraordinary. Certainly it is. It's the highest bar to have to jump over as a hurdle to getting success. Why? Because you're asking the Supreme Court to ultimately give its position, so to speak, its ruling before the lower court actually has a chance to do so. And so consequently, that's what was before the Supreme Court. On a Friday night around midnight, the Supreme Court denied the church's request for an emergency injunction pending appeal. And that denial was based on a 5-4 split. Now, the problem is that it means nothing. It means that that church didn't get that extraordinary relief. It has no precedential value. But Chief Justice John Roberts issued a very short concurring opinion. And in that opinion, that is the problem that ultimately the media picked up, because they tried to suggest that what the Chief Justice said in that concurring opinion was part of the 5-4 majority decision. It was not. None of the other four people sided with or signed on to the Chief Justice's opinion. None of them did. None. So he is just giving his own particular view. He should not have done it. It was wrong for him to do it. I disagree with his thinking. However, it is not a decision of the United States Supreme Court. Any more than, for example, any other decision of the Supreme Court, because you rarely ever have 9-0 decisions. Rarely ever have 9-0 decisions. Oftentimes you'll have a decision that is 5-4, 6-3, 7-2, doesn't really matter what the split is, but it's not unanimous. And you'll have some people that dissent. And then you'll have some people that file what's called a concurring opinion. They don't sign on to the opinion, but they agree with the result. That has never been precedential. You never look at that. That's a single opinion of a single justice. It's not a majority of the court. So the question here is, does this particular denial of this extraordinary relief, the highest bar to hurdle to get relief, an injunction pending appeal, does that have any effect on the ultimate disposition of those churches in California? The answer is no. Does it have any precedential value to any other cases ongoing? The answer is no. It has zero effect on it. None. Not at all. So that's the result here. And our cases will still go on. We have cases pending at the various federal courts of appeal. And one of our cases may go back to the U.S. Supreme Court, where the actual merits are decided. The merits of this case, whether churches should meet or not meet, whether the government wins or loses in these cases, was not before the Supreme Court. That was not what the Supreme Court decided in this case. That case, that issue is still undecided at the United States Supreme Court. We have the Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit that governs the state of Kentucky and other surrounding states, and it has issued 2-3-0 decisions in favor of churches against these governor orders, and therefore freed up all of the worship services for all the churches and houses of worship in Kentucky. You have something similar in Texas on behalf of churches. You have the Ninth Circuit that didn't give that injunction. So you do have some splits in the courts of appeals. You do have some courts on the lower court going one way, some going the other way, but the Supreme Court has not weighed in yet. There's no opinion from the U.S. Supreme Court. And so when these cases are finished and ultimately decided eventually at the courts of appeal, then the Supreme Court will have an opportunity to decide which case or cases to take and ultimately issue a final ruling in that case. I can tell you that the First Amendment gives special treatment to the churches. It's not just trying to compare churches to other similar kinds of meetings, which you can certainly do that. and they're being discriminated against, they're not getting equal treatment. But unlike restaurants, Home Depot, Walmart, any place, there is no First Amendment free exercise clause protection for them, right, but there is for churches. And there's no prohibition against the government from establishing a religion except the protection given to churches under the First Amendment. This battle still goes on. Continue to pray for Liberty Counsel and her team, working literally oftentimes around the clock on weekends to defend the rights of churches and people of faith. Go to lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.